On Wednesday, the United States said it was ready to relax some sanctions on Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, including a ban on U.S. companies investing in or offering financial services to the nation. However, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton stressed the Obama administration wanted to move cautiously, saying that the resource-rich Southeast Asian country has a long way to go to shake off decades of military rule. Christopher Wells spoke to the director of Burma Campaign UK about the significance of the relaxation of sanctions.
In the past weekend, we saw by-elections held in Burma, and the significance of these was that Aung San Suu Kyi herself was running as a candidate to be an MP. And that's the first time in the previous elections in 1990 she was under house arrest and she was unable to take part. And her party was not able to take part in the elections in November 2010 to the parliament because there were conditions that would have required the NLD to expel all members who were political prisoners and support a new constitution the military had brought in which guaranteed military rule. So as part of the reform process that the new president has been introducing, he agreed to change some of those rules that would allow the NLD to register as a party again and to take part in these by-elections. And Aung San Suu Kyi has won a seat in parliament and the NLD have won 43 of the 44 seats that they were competing in these by-elections.
And partially as a response to the elections, the United States says it will be lifting some sanctions or easing sanctions. Could you explain that for us a little bit?
Well, sanctions were introduced to try to pressure the government in Burma to make reforms of the kind that we're seeing at the moment. The pressure and the sanctions over many years has clearly had an impact. The government of Burma has had enough and they're prepared to take some steps to try to get sanctions lifted. And the international community, the US, EU, Canada, have always said, we will relax sanctions if there are positive steps, as a carrot, as an incentive for reform. So these by-elections were being seen as a sort of one of the benchmarks that by which the international community would judge whether there is real progress in Burma or not. So now that these by-elections have been held, the US has gone ahead and decided that it will relax some of the smaller, more, it's a very limited relaxation of sanctions because these by-elections were not actually free and fair, that there are still hundreds of political prisoners, there's been no legal or constitutional reforms yet. So the US is being cautious. They want to show the government of Burma that if they make genuine reforms, they will be rewarded for that. But at the same time, only limited steps have been taken so far by the government, and so they're only lifting a limited amount of sanctions. So at the moment, there's sanctions that the US has in place on financial services and investments in different sectors, and so some of those sectors will be eased. I think this in particular, they'll be looking at areas that will help in sort of relating to development, relating to humanitarian assistance, and different sectors, so that the financial sanctions will still remain that target the military, target the business cronies who are linked with the military. But they'll be slightly relaxed in other sectors where they think it can actually help improve the lives of people in Burma.
And do you see other members of the international community following the U.S. lead in relaxing some sanctions?
Well, there is a big debate going on within the European Union about how to respond to what has taken place in Burma. You have countries that have traditionally been opposed to sanctions like Germany, Italy and Austria, who are pushing quietly behind the scenes within the EU to say, let's relax almost all of the sanctions immediately. They're much more interested in enabling their companies to get into Burma quickly, grab the contracts for natural resources before other countries, other companies get in there first. So they're arguing, okay, it's not perfect. There might still be political prisoners. There might still be attacks against ethnic minorities and human rights abuses. But, let's just get in there and drop the sanctions anyway. Other EU members are being more cautious and saying, no, if there's if these sanctions are an incentive for reform, if we give them too many sanctions away too quickly, you remove the incentive for further reform. And there's still a lot of human rights problems and there isn't any democratic reforms that have happened in Burma yet. So there should be a gradual relaxation of sanctions. And the EU foreign ministers will be meeting on the 23rd of April to decide what they're going to do in response to the events in Burma.
And you mentioned that these by-elections were one of the benchmarks that the international community had established before they would relax sanctions. What's perhaps the next step or the next benchmark that people will be looking for a further relaxation?
Well, I think there is some concern because the EU has set these benchmarks and then seems to be prepared to sort of forget some of them in its sort of excitement about the changes. So one of the first benchmarks the EU set was the release of all political prisoners, and that that release must be unconditional. Now, there hundreds of political prisoners have been released, but many of them, they were released on a kind of parole where if they do anything that upsets the government, they can be sent back to jail and have to serve a new sentence plus their old sentence. So it's not unconditional releases. And there are hundreds of political prisoners still in jail. So that's a benchmark that still hasn't been met. And Hillary Clinton referred to the remaining political prisoners yesterday in her statement. And British Foreign Secretary William Hague has talked about this as an issue that still needs to be dealt with as well. Another benchmark the EU has set is ending conflict. The Burmese army for decades has been engaged in attacks against ethnic minority civilians in Burma who make up 40% of the population and committing horrific human rights abuses, which, you know, if Burma had signed up to their own statute, the Thein Sein would be in the International Criminal Court because of the abuses that are taking place. So ending this conflict, now there are some ceasefire negotiations taking place, but still the government's refusing to enter into dialogue about the root causes of the problem. So it's like they're pressing a pause button, not a stop button on that. And there is still, Burmese army is still attacking civilians and committing serious human rights abuses. So that's another benchmark which hasn't been met. And humanitarian access is another benchmark which the EU has talked about. So and still the government of Burma is blocking aid, stopping the UN from delivering aid to people in conflict zones who've been forced to flee attacks by the Burmese army. I've been up to Kachin State in the north, where there are 50,000 internally displaced refugees living in makeshift camps with no aid. The children are getting sick. They've got malnutrition. And Thein Sein's government, despite being praised as being courageous and reform, is stopping aid getting through to these children. So there's these big problems remaining. So it is surprising that Germany, Italy, and Austria, given that none of the four main benchmarks the EU have set for lifting sanctions have been met, would be talking about lifting almost all of the sanctions that the EU has in place.
And finally, returning to the by-elections, they have been criticized as neither free nor fair. Yet despite that, Aung San Suu Kyi has attained a spot in the government. Her party won the vast majority of seats. What are they going to be able to do? I understand there's still a very small minority in the legislature, but certainly this is a step forward for them.
Aung San Suu Kyi is hoping to use this parliament as a platform to push for further reform, for legislative change, repealing repressive laws, and at a later stage, constitutional change to try and make Burma more democratic. But she has said it's a first step, and I think the international community and some of the media have got a bit carried away in their reporting and commentary on the significance of these by-elections. The NLD will have around 6% of seats in this parliament, compared to a combined 80% or more of the seats being either held by serving soldiers or the pro-military party in parliament. So it's a tiny minority that they have in this parliament. And this parliament is virtually powerless anyway. Constitutionally, the parliament doesn't have the power to hold the government and the president to account. Above the parliament is a president who has to come from the military, and he appoints the government. They don't have to come from parliament, and they don't have to go and answer to parliament. And above the president is a military council. It's the National Defense and Security Council. 10 of its 11 members are either serving or ex-soldiers. And above them is the military, which constitutionally is not accountable to the government or to the parliament, and can veto any decisions that the parliament makes. So there's an enormous amount of challenges that Aung San Suu Kyi and the NLD will face in this parliament. It's a significant step, and it's more symbolic than politically significant at the moment. And that's why many people are concerned that the excitement and the importance attached to these by-elections is exaggerated far too much.